College Promoters USA, founded and located in San Antonio, operates as the only family-owned college recruiting company in Texas that brings a truly professional, local, and face-to-face approach to area high school student athletes and their families. If your son or daughter is serious about college athletics, call them at 210-494-6363 or visit collegepromotersusa.com anytime. College Promoters USA, the best investment a parent can make in their high school student athletes.
Here we go. It's another edition of the 50-50 podcast powered by College Promoters USA. Our proud partners, College Promoters USA. They are America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. Located in San Antonio, Texas, you can find them on social media at SATX Recruiting. That's on Twitter, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA. You can also find more information regarding them at their website at collegepromotersusa.com. My next guest, he is a gentleman that I have known off and on for a good bit, had the pleasure of training with him. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. He's a big fan of a lot of the work he's done. Great instructor, one of the best instructors I've had in the many, many, many courses that I've attended. He is also the current head men's soccer coach at Ross S. Sterling High School, home of the Rangers. He is Brian Heyman. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, and the check's in the mail for all those compliments there.
Yeah, yeah. So. I expect cash. My best friends call me Cash, Coach.
Right. I don't handle cash anymore.
Yeah, does anybody? Right. All right, awesome. So, hey, Coach, before we get started, kind of start talking shop, just tell us a little bit, just briefly, about who you are and kind of how you got to where you are now there at Sterling.
Oh, man. Well, just growing up playing the game in Houston, bounced around the whole Houston area, and there wasn't a whole lot of Division I clubs around. So I think within about 4 years, I played in three different Division I clubs and, had a little bit of college experience at the University of Kentucky, and things didn't go the way they wanted health-wise for me. So I ended up back home, and the story of me coaching, I was working at a Joe's Crab Shack, and the hostess walked up to me and says, "Hey, you know about soccer, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, our high school coach just quit." So I was like, "Okay." She goes, "Well, I gave our athletic director your phone number." So I was curious, first off, how the hostess got my phone number, but that's a whole other story. So next thing you know, here I am, the women's head coach at Mount Carmel High School. I'm 21 years old, coaching 17 and 18 year old Catholic school girls. No coaching experience. Just get out there and have some fun and see what happens. And that first year, we went 0-15, and I mean, we got double digited all the time. And just doing that, I kind of enjoyed being back a part of the game and learning a little bit. Seeing it from a different point of view. I got into a little bit of club coaching at the time as well. And, 20 years later, here I am at Sterling High School, the boys coach. I took over once I got my degree from University of Houston. I finished up all that. I went to Lamar High School and in Houston, and I ran their boys program for 5 years. Went to Pearland High School, ran their girls program for 3 years. Took a flyer and moved to Bonham, Texas, which if you can find it on a map, I'll give you $10. Literally a small town northeast of Dallas. And I started their boys program from scratch and enjoyed it there. Got back to coaching and doing what I love doing. When my dad got sick at the time and I moved back home and, bounced around a little bit. I'm close to him now, being at Sterling. I'm right down the street from him, so it's a good fit for me. Sometimes you chase jobs for your career and your aspirations and your where you hope to be one day, and then sometimes you chase jobs just for family, and you realize sometimes this isn't the job for me winning a state championship. This is the job for me being happy and being close to family, and that's where we're at now. And I bounced around a little bit of club. I was at Rise Soccer club for a little while, and now I'm at a small club in Deer Park called San Jacinto United FC that we started about a year and a half ago. And
oh, nice. Okay.
Kind of a cool deal, giving high school kids an opportunity to play that may not ever get an opportunity to play club soccer. So we're kind of breaking the mold of what club soccer has become, and we're trying to change things a little bit down here. So,
yeah. Awesome. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So I know you, for as long as you've been around the game, and you just hit on a few of the stops that you've had, mm-hmm. But particularly as it relates, you know, our audience here is definitely statewide and, yeah. You know, really nationwide, but really our focus is statewide. As it relates there, and maybe you look at, we focus in a little bit on the greater Houston area, but mm-hmm. then across the state, what's maybe been the biggest change in this state and as it also relates in the greater Houston area since you started?
I just think the number of kids that play has been a big thing. When I started in Houston ISD back in 2005, I had 25 kids in the soccer class, and that was it. And by the time I left 5 years later, we had 170 kids in the athletic period, or we had 170 kids at tryouts, and we had over 100 kids in the athletic period. We were the first HISD school to have three teams.
That was at Lamar, you said?
That was at Lamar. We were the first one to have a third team, which we funded completely ourselves. But then you start seeing the growth of the 4A schools and 4A soccer. You know, when I started Bonham, I was going to schools like Frisco Lone Star and Frisco Centennial just to get friendlies, because you know, nobody around us had a team that could play soccer. And I think what now we're well over 150 schools in 4A soccer. And then you start looking at the schools in the state. How many of these schools have three teams? How many of these schools have four teams? And we're getting to the point now where, you know, you're seeing soccer programs with 150, 100, 140, 150 kids in their athletic programs, you know, wanting to play soccer. And man, 15, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. So getting more kids wanting to play soccer, getting more kids out there trying to play soccer, you know, for the high school game, it's been fantastic that we're developing all these players, or we're giving these players the opportunity. And at the same time, it's forcing athletic departments to change how they staff soccer. You know, no more, hey, we're going to put the assistant football coach in charge of soccer. No more, you're the new head soccer coach, but you have four assistants, or you have two assistants, and they're both football coaches that know nothing about soccer.
Yeah.
You know, and the good thing about high school soccer is we're developing more kids who go to college and want to coach. So
absolutely,
you know, it's so cool for me to get an email from some of my former players saying, "Hey coach, I just graduated and I'm looking for a coaching job. You know, I'm living in this area here. Who can I call? Who can I talk to?" And, you know, for me, you know, I don't have a long coaching tree of assistant coaches that have gone on to coach. I've got a lot of players that are out there coaching now. So I'm excited by that. And I think that's what's changed a lot for me personally, what I've seen.
Right. And that's really one of the ways, you know, it can sound cliche, but the reality of it is, because obviously we're not doing it for the money, and it's got to be, you know, at the end of the day, only one team wins on the final day of the season. Right. So everyone else, you know, what is the purpose? And one of the surefire ways to really measure success in our craft, in our industry, is, are you having players that remain in the game on some level, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and kind of fostering that lifelong love of the game. Not you don't want to be that guy that kills it for them, right?
No, not at all.
Of their life. Yeah,
absolutely. Not at all.
So talk, you know, one of the things that I try when I'm in conversations with a lot of, especially with even with college coaches, when I'm in conversations with college coaches, because of obviously my, you know, my recruiting coordinator background and my work with College Promoters USA, but I have a lot of conversations with college coaches and even with high school coaches from different states about what makes Texas high school soccer fascinating is how the regions within the state you can see that there's oftentimes different styles within those regions. So I guess kind of a two-part question for you. One, what do you think about that? And then two, I guess, what would you say, maybe that greater Houston area out there, Baytown, where you are as well, what would you say is maybe the characteristics, maybe the personality of the general style of play out of schools in that area where you are?
All right. I think that's a key to the game. I don't even think it's a regionalized thing. I think because it's different within each region. You go through the DFW where I was at Bonham, and sure, you have your schools that have a lot of club players who are very technical, very tactical. They play a certain style. Then you have your inner city schools or your teams, yeah, in a lot of your teams, your makeup, your Hispanic players who play a little bit more, freely. And that poses issues for them. So you see changes within not just
district. It's almost region. District, right? It's almost
district by district. And when I was at Lamar, very much it was within our district. You know, you had Houston Lee, which was in Houston Westside, who played a very high press, possession based game. You had me at Lamar and Coach Kanzik at Bel Air, who played a very very direct, very counterattacking style. We were. I brought Catenaccio into HISD soccer and threw everybody for a loop because all we did was sit back and defend. Basically, when you look at the game, we can say region by region, one versus two and three versus four, and vice versa, and say the game is different. It ultimately depends on the players that make up those teams, and within the region itself. When you go to the regional tournaments, you can see that differently within the region itself.
Yeah, yeah.
The playoff games, they're all different, district by district. So as for Baytown, it's a very hard-nosed, hard-working community. And that's what I've noticed about the kids in Baytown. We have three schools in our school district. We have Memorial, we have Lee, and we have Sterling, and all three teams we're hard nosed, we're hardworking teams, very industrial in the way we play, and it's very much a reflection of our community and how the community works. So for me, I enjoy that because I'm a defensive minded coach, which 20 years ago I never would have told anybody that. I told people when I got hired at Lamar, I said I would rather lose 9-8 than win 1-0. Because 1-0 is boring,
right?
And now I love 1-0, and being a defensive minded coach, I mean, I want those pragmatic kids. I want those kids that are going to scrap and fight for every little inch they can get. And that's been something we're trying to teach our kids, how to scratch and fight on the field instead of scratching and fighting in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's well said. Well said. So we look at last year, Coach. Obviously, so you're in 22-5A. We look at last year before we start looking ahead at this year and beyond. You're in 22-5A and nine team district, and you had a down year last year. Yep. And not that I need to remind you of that, but just for our listeners.
But thanks for it.
Yeah, no problem. That's what I'm here for. Eighth place, but. Going forward, when you looked at last year and then what you have coming back this year, what are some of the, what are maybe some players that you can spotlight for us, and what has you excited about this year building off of last year's team?
Well, I think for us last year, I mean, everyone's going to say it was COVID and all those things there, but you being a first year coach at a new school and dealing with COVID, we had kids that I didn't see until December.
Right.
We had a varsity starting center midfielder for us. I didn't know who the kid was until the second week of December. So those were issues there. And it was funny when you meet with the athletic directors, the first thing they say is, "Oh, coach, don't worry about last year. It was COVID." That's not the excuse we make. We were extremely young last year. Towards the end of the year, we were starting six sophomores and a freshman on our varsity. And our district was a very experienced district, senior wise. Friendswood had 15 seniors. Manville was starting six seniors. And a lot of these schools were starting a lot of seniors. And here we were starting a lot of kids. And not only just kids, but kids, physically, because we couldn't get into the weight room as much. We couldn't get a lot of full training sessions in because kids couldn't, kids hit and miss. So we didn't get a whole lot of what we wanted out of the season. We saw glimpses of it. But the good thing was our JV team ended up winning the district. We had a very good JV team, and that's amazing considering I kept pulling kids off that JV up to my varsity. Our third team competed pretty well last year. So going into this year, you know, again, we're still very young. We only have, out of our 21 kids on our varsity, we only have four seniors.
So you only graduated four last year? Or is that this year?
We graduated six last year.
Gotcha.
And of those six, you know, two of them started. And, okay, now we just have to, you know, we kept telling our kids that others, that there are spots available. And our kids, you know, from day one this year, we kind of changed the methodology of the program. How do we want to be seen? How do we want to, attack our season? And one of the cool things we have at Sterling, we got a big hill to run every day. And, that's their punishment, as they call it, but we don't see it like that anymore. We went out there on the very first day and we got on top of that hill and we talked about the view from the top of the hill. You could see half of Baytown from the top of that hill. And that became our motto for the year, is climb the mountain. That, you know, the view from the top is a heck of a lot better than the view from the bottom. And our kids took that to heart, you know, getting in the weight room. You know, if they increase their maxes over 6 weeks by 10 pounds, well, that's 10 pounds more than they were. That's 10 pounds further up the mountain than they were. If they're cutting their mile times down, if they're cutting their sprint times down, their number of touches, their number of goals they can score in 30 seconds in our speed finishing sessions. You know, all of those things are steps up the mountain. And if everyone's on the right track going up the mountain, then we're going to have a successful season, because we're going to be better than eighth place last year. We're going to be better than 4-15 last year. So a few of our kids that we're looking forward to, Rogelio Chavez is our starting striker. He's 17 goals and 4 assists last year on varsity as a sophomore. Nice. And he's coming back. He's playing with a lot more intensity this year than he did last year. I think he's realizing what we're capable of. One of my midfielders I'm really looking forward to seeing is a kid named Fernando Torres. He's a holding center midfielder. He's a sophomore. You know, he's one of the kids that came up as a freshman last year, and he stepped into a role for us. And he wasn't a holding center mid. He was an outside back. I said, hey, you're now the holding center mid. I want you to sit here and learn it. And I did a lot of just sending him videos during the summer. Hey, watch how Pirlo plays in the six today, mm-hmm. in this video, and just see, and tell me what you see. And we would do that quite a bit. I sent out a lot of videos during the summer to our kids. Hey, watch this player. And then tomorrow morning when we meet for fitness and you know, speed and agility in our training session, you know, we may only do 30 minutes of touches, but we're going to talk about what we watched in the videos for 30 minutes. You know, now how can we apply that to this upcoming season? Where do I want you to be? Where do I want you to be next? You know, where do I see you on the field? And then finally, our big one's going to be our goalkeeper, Romero Longoria. He was a second team all region goalkeeper last year as a sophomore. He is a very talented shot stopper. He's very athletic.
Nice.
He's playing on an O3 team.
Having you there, I'm sure helps as well, right?
Well, you know,
I mean, you're the head, so you can't work with them directly every day, but still that helps.
No. And I think part of what we've been able to try to do with him this year, we was able to get him out of the football class because he's also the field goal kicker. Oh, nice. So, thanks to my athletic coordinator for letting me have him in the athletic period with me, you know, we can kind of work on, you know, for me, like his big thing was his first step. You know, he's very, you know, he depends a little bit too much on his athleticism and not his,
the mechanics, not his
position,
power step.
Not much his positioning. Yeah. So we kind of worked a little bit on his positioning, a little bit on his reaction saves. You know, you remember the goalkeeping course. He's a little proactive at times. He thinks he sees it and he tries to get there. Next thing you know, he's picking the ball out of the net the wrong way.
Right.
But we got him working a lot more on that. And it is difficult being the head coach, but and not being able to work with my keepers as much. But he's a good kid, and I get to see him. I get to see him train. He plays in our club, so I get to see him train as well in the evening. So, you know, and I can work with our goalkeeper coach in our club and kind of say, okay, this is what I want him working on today, or can you at least look at this when you're working with him?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's and I'm lucky enough where I'm at now at St. Mary's Hall, on the private side, on the tap side, where I'm afforded the opportunity to have a goalkeeping coach. But I can tell you right now is for players that may be out there listening across the state, anytime you have a coach that has that direct goalkeeping background, that it's huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
As a head coach, that is. But yeah, I was having that exact conversation today with with my players during training today that are right. The other 10 on the field, those, excuse me, those are the ones that we want to be proactive. The one in goal, that's the one that we want to be reactive.
Absolutely.
Right? Not proactive. So awesome. So we talk about your program, coach, and what are, in terms of what you're seeing, talk a little bit of, or what you got to see, I should say, during your scrimmages over the last couple of weeks, and how do you feel heading into the start of the season next week?
Well, you know, we started our preseason, our scrimmages with Katie Pato, and they're highly ranked in the Houston area. And we figured if, you know, we need to see where we measure out to begin with. And the way I handle scrimmages is at the beginning, the kids walk into the locker room, they have the 20 minute, we break each scrimmage down into 20 minute periods, and they have the 20 minute substitution schedule. Okay. Here's the 11 that are starting at 20 minutes. Here's who's going on. Here's who's staying on. Here's who's coming off. At the end of, at the next 20 minutes, here's who's coming on, who's coming off, and then so on. So the kids already know how much they're going to play, and how, and the only thing that changes that is injuries and cards, unfortunately. But we went out there, and our starters went 0-0 with Pato, which I was very impressed with, because one of our biggest problems last year was giving up goals early in matches. You know, we had six straight games where we gave up a goal within the first 3 minutes of a game, and you know, and for me, that was one of my goals this summer, was how do I change the mindset in pregame and in preparation for this? So, going 28 minutes without giving up a goal to Katie Pato, I was really ecstatic by that. You know, that's a start for us. Nice. Once our starters started to come out, we started to put some reserves in just to give them, they've got to get their time on the field. I've got to see what they can do against starters, because, you know, high school soccer, we're going to have injuries. We're going to have grades. We're going to have sickness. You know, we're going to have this Omicron come through the programs. Eventually it's going to hit kids, but I need to be able to say, okay, I'm down these kids. You've got to step in. And if I haven't seen this kid play in this position, then, you know, we're just going to be shooting in the dark, and we don't want to do that. So we ended up losing that scrimmage 5-0, and we ended up giving up four goals in the last 12 minutes with our backups. And, you know, and like we told them, it's not an indictment on them. It's an indictment on, you know, we it's something that we can learn from. And, you know, we go back and we watch the film and we show all the goals, and we normally start 30 seconds before the goal. You know, we don't just show the 5 seconds before the goal gets struck and that's right. It. There is a buildup and there is a series of mistakes. And we saw stuff. Okay, our forwards didn't settle the ball here. We didn't find the player making the diagonal run, and that led to them pulling, you know, stealing the, you know, intercepting this pass and then leading to a counterattack. We made this great run. We didn't find it. It got back and got us. And that was something that we looked at with our kids. And for us, we made some aggressive mistakes, which I would rather make aggressive mistakes knowing that we're trying to go forward. We're trying to find things. We're trying to go, we're trying to score goals, trying to win games. And kids are trying to make plays, and once they make those mistakes, now they learn. Okay, this was a great opportunity. This was a great run for me to make. Maybe it wasn't the right time for me to make that run. Maybe it wasn't the right time to try to make this pass, or maybe it wasn't the right time to step in and tackle at this point. So, you know, we made a list of it, and the four goals we gave them in the second half. You know, we create a list of five mistakes. You know, that's our goal. What are the five mistakes that led to this goal? So how do we eliminate them in the next scrimmage, or how do we eliminate them in the next practice? How are we going to eliminate them in the next game? And we scrimmaged Huffman Hargrave, who they went to state last year in the 4A region. We were down a bunch of kids. They were down a bunch of kids. So for us, it was an opportunity just to get kids on the field and play. Our starting left back started playing in the six. And then we had two kids playing up top who are normally midfielders. So it was, you know, I hate to sound negative as a coach, but for me, I didn't see a whole lot of what I'm going to see on the field during the season. You know, I might see stuff like, okay, later in the year, maybe this kid can step up in his position if I need him to, but my front two are out and the backup forward was out. So, you know, these two kids are just thrust into that position, and we wanted to see them play. We ended up tying 1-1. Their goal came off a penalty. Our goalkeeper made the save off the penalty. Referee made him retake it. Said my keeper was off the line.
Off the line.
I'm going to tell you this. He was, his back heels were on the line. I watched the film. He saves the second one. Made him retake it again. And the third one, they changed out the striker and they gave my kid a yellow card for coming off his line twice, you know, delaying the, you know, whatever. So our,
now was that the actual center or was that the line?
They were running a duel. Of course. Yes. You know, high school soccer. And this was our backup goalkeeper. Our starter was out of town. So our backup goalkeeper saved twice. And we had to put the JV goalkeeper in just for the third penalty and they ended up scoring off of it. But, you know, for me, like I told our kids, you know, scrimmages are not just for us as coaches and for them as players. It's also for the referees. And some of them haven't ref. Some of the high school referees haven't refereed in a year. So we're going to give them that. But, you know, I just seeing my kids, like I told them afterwards that game, I was real proud of their effort. I was proud of what they achieved. And, you know, they have to take small technical goals out of each game. You know, hey, I was able to hit a shot left footed, or I was able to control the ball right footed a lot better than I did last game. So our kids did a pretty good job in that game, and I enjoyed it just watching the game. You know, I think it's one of the few games where you rarely saw me off the bench. You know, I was able to sit down and actually take notes and then pull kids off and, okay, here's what we saw.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay.
That's been our scrimmage season.
Right. Okay. Good. So you feeling pretty good, pretty, you know, within reason, relatively confident going into the start of into next week?
I'm a lot healthier than I was last year because I'd already lost two kids. I'd already lost a kid for the season and had two other kids out with hamstring injuries before the season started. So we're fully healthy. It's just getting them all back from Mexico in time for our tournament. We're hosting our first ever tournament in Baytown. So, you know, we're excited to be doing that, and we're going to open it up with some really good teams playing. And, you know, I threw my kids to the wolves. You know, we're going to open up with Sharpstown, who's really good. We're going to play Galena Park, who's really strong, and we're going to play Brazosport, which is a really strong 4A. So
nice.
You know, we're going to test ourselves from day one.
Now, what is the actual name of that tournament, Coach? I know it's not the Brian Heyman Football Fiesta. So
it is you know what? I wanted it to be the Goose Creek Consolidated ISD Soccer Classic or Soccer Challenge or whatever it was. Neither of the other schools in our district wanted to join in and help me by co-hosting or playing in it. So by that point, you know, the district had already approved it. So they had approved the GCCISD Classic, or now it's the Sterling Ranger Classic since I'm the only school hosting it. But you know what? I love the idea of the Coach Heyman Football Fiesta.
I'm sure you do.
Because that's what it is. It's going to be a fun time. We've got 15 varsity teams and 4 JVs coming in. We're going to be hosting it at our high school and at the district stadium at Stallworth. Man, we're excited.
What are the dates for that, Coach? Can you plug
January 6th through the 8th.
So the first weekend.
Yep. And I will post our tournament schedule on our brand new Twitter site that we created last night. RSS Men's Soccer. So we're already at 100 over 100 followers in less than 24 hours. So
look at that. That's awesome. So
and I followed about 400 different high school accounts. So, you know, again, I'm all for promoting the high school game in
there
Texas.
There you go. Absolutely. And again, you can find that is at RSS Men's Soccer on Twitter.
Yep. And we will have some fun with that this year as well. I've got some great videos ready to put on there and advertise our kids as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you include us. Please tag us on scores, results from that tournament. And I'm sure, as you've seen, one of the big hashtag that we're trying to promote and push forward this year for score reporting purposes is the TXHSSOC scores for Texas High School Soccer scores. That's a good way where we can track scores. So feel free, tag us, whatever. Use that hashtag. And keep us updated on results, because we'd love to, in our other show, our Inside Texas High School Soccer with Coach Grafa, we will. That's basically what we do: is we look at results from the state, particularly for those two weekends, those first two weekends, those big tournament weekends on the UIL side, and we'd love to be able to highlight your tournament.
Absolutely, we'll post them. We'll post them constantly, and I'll even post some fun updates as we go.
There you go. So transitioning here a little bit, Coach, you're also a staff coach at San Jacinto United, which is about a year and a half old, correct?
About a year and a half, yes, sir.
Okay. So talk to us a little bit in terms of the mission there and what you're seeing, even in the middle of, because that's basically stood up the life of that club is basically during pretty much the entire pandemic, really. What has that been like in itself, and what have you seen from the start to now?
Well, you know, in I got to give a lot of credit to our club executive director, even though he hates that title, and that's Coach Jerry Hurtado, who's the head coach at Deer Park High School. He called me back in July of 2020 and said, "Hey, come work with me," and he didn't say come work for me. And what he said is, "I've got some kids that want to play. We want to start a club." And Coach Wright, who was the former coach at Sterling, myself, then Coach Meadows, who's the coach at LaPorte, we got together and we said, "Okay, we got a group of kids. We got three groups of kids, and we want them to play." So we had a 2003 team that played ED2L and did well. We had the 2004 boys team that I had, and it was a lot of high school kids from Deer Park and LaPorte. And those coaches got their kids to me. I was able to get some of my Sterling kids out to the other coaches. And we started with an 03, an 04, an 07, and a 2010 team. And, you know, our goal is to provide an alternative to the clubs in Houston that are charging just way too much to play soccer. So we came up with an idea. We charge $700 for the whole year, and that covers their fees, their league fees, and their field fees that we have to pay. And we just go out and play. And that first season, our 04s won their Division II league. Our 07s won their 07 league, and our 03s won their league. So all three of our teams won their divisions, and we promoted up. So now that we're doing a little bit of successful, we're starting to pull kids from high schools. So I can call the coach at Clear Lake High School. I can call the coach at Pasadena High School or Pasadena Memorial High School or South Houston High School and say, "Hey, do you have any kids? We're looking for a 2004 kid who's a center back. Do you have any that are interested in playing club soccer?" And we kind of made it just here's the approach, come out and play. And where else are you going to go and get a coach like Coach Hurtado with an A license or with a premier diploma, myself with a premier diploma, Coach Wright with a B license, and you're going to play a year of club soccer for $700, and you're going to get taught by high school coaches who are not only just trying to develop you, but try to help you get better for your high school program. And we look at it from both points of view. You know, we're not club coaches that despise high school coaches. We're not high school coaches that despise club coaches. And we know that relationship still exists at times. But for us, it was providing an alternative for kids who may not be able to afford the $3,000 of Rise or the $3,000 of Dynamo or whatever they're charging players to play now. So for us, it was giving kids a chance to play. And then this season, we added a 2005 and a 2009 boys team. So now we're up to five boys teams. Next year, we're going to add a 2011 team, and a girls team is going to get added in with us.
There you go.
We're slowly starting to grow and add coaches and add an option for players to play. And that's, you know, we all train together, we all work together, and it's easy for me to call the coach at Deer Park and say, "Hey, this kid did this weekend in club." You know, I actually sat with Coach Hurtado yesterday at lunch, and he's looking for a left back. And I'm like, "Well, have you tried this kid? Why would I try him? Well, he's left-footed, and he plays, and he works hard. He's industrious. Why not give him a shot at left back?" So I'm waiting to get the text back from him to see how my kid did at left back tonight. And it's those things that we can work together, you know, to promote our club, to promote opportunities for kids to play. We took our 04 boys team went up to Lone Stars College Showcase in November up in Austin. We got a chance to play there. So for us now it's trying to find opportunities to promote our kids a little bit more. Now that we've kind of established ourselves, we've done well in our divisions. Now we want to promote ourselves and promote our players and get colleges start looking at them and getting them recruited.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And for sure, anything we can do as a podcast to help that in that endeavor, mm-hmm. especially as far as that college exposure, don't hesitate to reach out. Please let us know.
Will do.
Absolutely. And now I will say this. I imagine you all have discussed plans to how to, I guess, solicit feedback from those high school coaches. For example, those players that you've coached, right, mm-hmm. over the last, you know, year or so, or this fall, for example. Yeah. and how they go back and do with their high school teams over the winter, right? Mm-hmm. I imagine you guys will solicit some sort of feedback from those high school coaches and what they're seeing from those players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach on the club side.
Well, like for me, my 04 boys team, most of them play at Deer Park, so it's easy to get it from the club director himself. I got a couple at LaPorte who I'll see them in district, in our district, because they play with us. And then a couple of the other kids go to Doby High School, and I live right down the street from there, and their coach is a good friend of mine. So it's easy to just text them and say, hey, what do you see out of these kids? Or what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? What can I do to help? You know, because we're going to get back. We're going to try to go to Albion's college showcase in early February with them again. And then we're going to see what the spring cup play does for us. But, you know, for us, it's what can we do to help you during the season? You know, are they struggling with anything that I can work on in club? Are they doing anything that I wasn't doing with them that maybe helps me with them as well? Yeah. So, you know, we want to be, you know, I'm easy to communicate with when it comes with high school coaches. I see them all the time and love just talking about players and about the game.
Right, right. So, you know, as we alluded to it earlier, is I had the opportunity of way back, many years back, mm-hmm. to attend goalkeeping level one, level two certification course through then the National Soccer Coaches Association of America. Had you as my lead instructor before I, you know, had the privilege and honor of going on advancing to a level three course with the late, great Tony DiCicco. You know, I mentioned that because that's part of your background, having been a state national level instructor. That, and then also the fact that you're an educator. How has that helped you on really on the club side? Because this is one of those things that I usually try to ask high school coaches that also happen to be involved on the club side. Because I often feel like there's a disconnect there that on the club side, they don't see the potential that exists there with educators who are also coaches and how that supports their, you know, their coaching capability.
Well, I think, you know, first off, during the United Soccer Coaches courses, I've really kind of learned how to, you know, put my ego aside at those courses and learn from everyone. Here's what I have to teach. But at the same time, and you were at that course in Waco where we had Haley Carter, who was the third string keeper at Dash, and she brought a lot of ideas. We had Anna Maddox, who was the goalkeeper coach. Right. Now she's Anna Job, and you know, she brought a lot of ideas. So for me, it's I'm able to actually learn from my peers. So those coaching courses are I always tell coaches when I teach these courses, I'm going to teach you a lot based on what's in the manual and what's on the field sessions, but you guys are going to teach me something every course as well. You know, you know something, you see something, you try something. And I want to learn from you because I'm not getting better teaching courses. I'm getting better learning myself. So I've got to keep learning. And that's part of me being a teacher. You know, I'm a lifelong learner. I teach history. I have a history degree, and I'm constantly learning something new to keep my classroom fresh every day. In regards to how it affects club soccer, I can tell you when I was at Rise or Houston Express and then Rise Soccer Club, I never took a top team because those were year round teams. I always took the bottom age, you know, give me the bottom team at U9 boys. Give me the bottom team at U10 boys, because those kids are only half year players. They're going to go back to baseball in the spring, and I'll cover any session you guys need me to cover. If you need me to cover the top boys session or the top girls session, I can cover it. You know, I feel like I have that knowledge that I could do so. And early on when Mark Gibbs was our director of coaching at Rise, I was able to do that and did well there. Once it merged and Colin Chester took over, one of the things that he was not a fan of was what we called part-time coaches like myself. And the club knew that I coached club in the fall and I coached high school in the spring. And it was one of the reasons why we chose to part ways at Rise. And it's one of the reasons that it was unfortunate. But, you know, for me, like, you know, when I'm coaching club and I had a group of 01 girls and a group of 03 girls at Rise my last year there, those girls, we looked to get them into college showcase tournaments and we looked at the academic side of it. We went through the recruiting process ourselves with them. Here's what they're looking for. Here's where we're going to go to tournaments. But what are you doing in school? Like, what were your grades like in school? Are you in extracurriculars? Are you doing things to promote yourself properly at school? And parents appreciated that. You know, I think for parents, I think they understood it. You know, I think they were kind of, a lot of parents were excited to having an educator or a high school coach or someone who's been through the recruiting process as a club coach helps them instead of someone who's just on the soccer side. And so right. I think that gave me a little bit of a leg up. And I think that's something that I bring to San Jacinto United. You know, I think all of our coaches bring that idea because we're all former educators. So we know what we want our kids to, we know what our kids have to do. And when we look at our kids and say, hey, when the coach at Deer Park tells me, hey, this kid's not playing high school ball for me because he failed. Well, I'm going to look at him and say, why are you training tonight? Why are you at club practice tonight? Why are you not going and making up your schoolwork?
Right.
Get out of here. So, you know, I think there needs to be, and I hope this continues to grow. Because I think one of the cool things about high school coaches now is that we're developing a lot more of us that have come through the club game. And I mean, some of these high school coaches, these young kids that are coming into the high school game, and I keep saying young kids, it makes me feel old. You know, I turned 40 in October, so I know I feel old now. But it's like I see some of these 24 and 25-year-old coaches coming in that are removed from the college game, and I'm like, man, it's so great to have those kids there. But they went through the club game, and now they're coaching high school. And their club coaches respect them because they know they came through the club game. You know, you get these kids from Texans or from Challenge that are coming back to coach. That's so awesome. And the clubs are respecting those kids a lot more because, hey, that's one of our kids. They know the steps as well.
Yeah.
And if they're teaching at the high school level, and then it's just a bonus for those kids, for the kids that are playing today.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we start to transition here, Coach, we start getting ready for our next segment. What can you tell us? We briefly hit on it a little bit, but what can you tell us? What can we expect from your Ranger squad this year?
Well, we're going to win more than four games. I'm going to promise that.
off to a good start. There we go.
Yeah. You know, we didn't want to, we tied one scrimmage last year. We tied one this year. So I'm already where I was. And now it's just a step forward. All honesty, our district is, I talked with Coach Peter at Friendswood, and he called our district the district of mediocrity this year, in a sense that really and truly there's no team that dominates. You know, last year it was easy to look at Friendswood and say, yeah, that's the level everybody wants to be at, is at Friendswood. And they end up running through the district really easily. But for us, you know, we went 4-15-3. And in our district, I don't even know our district's record. It wasn't great. But we only had one game in district where we were not competitive. And we lost a game 4-1 to Friendswood, or 4-0 to Friendswood. But we were really thin that night because of COVID. Every other match, we were a 1-0, 3-2, 2-1.
So you were in them. You were in them.
In those games. Yeah. And I think one of the things that hurt our kids was just an understanding of how to play in tight soccer games. You know, it's one thing when you're playing in a tight club game. That's a little different. But when you're playing it Tuesday night at Galveston Ball and it's a 1-0 game or a 0-0 game with 20 minutes to go, you know, yes, you're going to get a little bit more pressure. They've got a ton of people in the crowd that are going crazy. And, you know, you don't get that environment at club games. So how can we turn those close losses into maybe ties this year? Or can we flip those results? Can we take that 1-0 loss to Manville or that 2-1 loss to Manville, and can we flip that to a 2-1 victory this year? Can we take that 3-2 loss to Goose Creek Memorial? Can we flip it the other way? So, you know, for us this year, it's been about putting our kids under pressure. You know, a lot of our stuff is – everything's been a competition. So we've been competing since the summer. And, you know, I think our kids are going to be able to turn a lot of those results around. I think I hope we are one of the top four teams in the district. We'll see what happens. We've got to maneuver injuries and grades like everybody else. One of the good things for us this year, and I'll brag on it for my kids, you know, 21 out of 21 members of our varsity team are all eligible as of this point. They all passed the second report card cycle for us. According to my principal, I think he said that's the first time that's happened for Sterling soccer in a long time, not losing varsity soccer players. So, you know, I'm going to brag on my kids. They did a heck of a job in the classroom getting their grades up and taking care of business there. That makes things easier because I don't lose kids to grades. And it's a bonus there. So now we get to maneuver the season. Can we stay healthy? Can we keep our heads? Can we avoid taking unnecessary cards or unnecessary fouls when we don't need to? And, I think we can be a playoff team, or we can be right there in the mix. I mean, Sterling hasn't been to the playoffs since I think the last trophy we have in the locker room is from 2009.
Gotcha.
So, for us, we want to put a trophy in the locker room.
Right.
And we want to put our names up on the wall. That's a big thing for our kids.
Now, I know you mentioned you all are healthy. Is the general feel in the, not the ISD maybe, but in that area, are schools for the most part with this Omicron, are they staying healthy? You're not seeing a lot of teams that are short, cancellations, anything like that as far as the scrimmages go so far?
I haven't seen anything. I mean, we shut down after the 22nd. So we took 9 days. We're going to take 9 days off. And that's, part of it's me getting healthy as well, dealing with some stuff on the side. But also, and this year has just been crazy for schools. And I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a lot of teachers that are just leaving the profession in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
And teachers are burned out. Students are burned out. Kids haven't really gone to school for the last year and a half. So this last semester was tough trying to teach them how to be students again. Yeah. How to turn in their work on time, how to put their name on paper, which they hadn't done in a year and a half. So, part of what I told my kids is I wanted them to take this Christmas break and recharge themselves and focus and relax a little bit, decompress, and be prepared for the spring semester, because that's soccer season. And if we'd have really pushed ourselves through the Christmas break, I think we might have broken down during the season. Some kids, maybe we might have had some injuries or some kids get sick just because we're pushing ourselves so hard. So I think it's easy for me to kind of pull back a little bit, let the kids be kids, enjoy Christmas. I love Christmas too, so I wanted to enjoy it. Wanted to be able to go to the pub on Boxing Day and watch the games. And, I want to be able to do that and just remember why I'm coaching again and not just be stuck in a constant grind every day. I want to be able to get out and, spend time with family as well. So that's what we want our kids to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I know, you mentioned that regarding teachers, and mm-hmm. I was just the other day, I was reading an article on their talk, because we all know clearly the setback, the issues that the students have had to go through, right? But they've been talking about that repeatedly over the last year. But what the article was addressing is how one of the things you're not hearing enough about is the strain that it has taken on educators, on teachers across the country, and how just the alarming high volume of teachers that are retiring, leaving altogether. So it is pretty alarming. And that, the article was using terminology, like they're calling it like an epidemic within the pandemic, right? Yeah. In terms of educators. So yeah, it's pretty, I know where you're coming from with that for sure. So, coach,
we'll get through it. I promise.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we know you're going to stay with us for our next segment, Counterattack, get to pick on you a little bit, have some fun with you.
Everybody else does.
Yeah. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
College Promoters USA, founded and located in San Antonio, operates as the only family-owned college recruiting company in Texas that brings a truly professional, local, and face-to-face approach to area high school student athletes and their families. If your son or daughter is serious about college athletics, call them at 210-494-6363 or visit collegepromotersusa.com anytime. College Promoters USA, the best investment a parent can make in their high school student athletes.
All right, and we're back with Coach Brian Heyman, head men's soccer coach at Ross Sterling High School, home of the Rangers. All right, Coach, ready to go?
No, let's do it.
All right, some counterattack here, some off-the-wall random, some soccer, some non-soccer questions. We try to go kind of as close to rapid-fire as we can, kind of first thing that kind of comes to mind. That's usually the best answer. And some of these questions I've asked other people, and some of them, you'll be the first to get them. So lucky.
All right.
All right. So as a coach, not as a player, any training session or game day superstitions or rituals?
Starburst jelly beans. Always have a bag of Starburst jelly beans on the sideline. I learned a long time ago, if I got something in my mouth, I can't yell at the referee.
So, you're popping them during the game, huh?
I pop them during. It's crazy. Kids look at me. They're like, "What is he like?" What, like every time I start a new school, it's like, "Why does he have jelly beans?" And yeah. Hey, have a if I have a few jelly beans in my mouth and I see something I don't like, well, then I've got to stop. I got to chew them up. I got to swallow. Then I got to realize, is what I was going to say, is it still necessary? Yeah. Do I still need to yell at that referee, or do I still need to yell at my player, or do I still need to say something to what just happened?
You know, how selective are you in terms of flavors? Or if you get that bad tasting one, are you quicker to spit it out and just yell at the ref or what?
Not at all. I love all four flavors of Starburst jelly beans. They rock.
There you go. All right. I'm not a jelly bean guy, but I might have to try. I don't think I've ever even seen a Starburst jelly bean. So.
Oh man, they're world class. You'll love them.
All right. Awesome. All right. Your favorite number and why?
Number 15. When I grew up, that was my number playing all my years playing. Even when I was playing goalkeeper, I tried to steal the number 15 jersey from the field players. I was like, I want this number somewhere. I don't know why. I can tell you why. One of my favorite players growing up was Roy Lassiter when he played at when he played at DC United and when he played at Miami Fusion. And man,
the original MLS days.
Yes, early MLS, man. Yeah. My dad and I were season ticket holders for the Dallas Burn back in the day over at the Cotton Bowl. So in '96. So Roy Lassiter wore number 15 and he banged in goals. When I first became a field player, I was banging in goals too. So I was like, man, I'm just like Rocket Roy right here, running past people, banging them in. So I got to be number 15 just like him. So that's been it forever since. I always give the number 15 jersey to the kid, not my best player, but my hardest working player on my field. Nice. So always, that's kind of something. And they don't know that. They just know.
You've never shared that?
Never told them. Like, coach, why am I 15? Well, there's a reason.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, that's good to know. Awesome. That's the first Roy Lassiter drop on the podcast in the year of the podcast. So,
man, all right, love nice. Roy Lassiter. Love
all him. Right. Are you a meme or GIF guy? Which one?
Oh man, I'm a GIF kind of guy, man. I've got hundreds of them on my phone. So, my golden
life.
I've
seen some of the ones you drop on Twitter. I've seen some.
I'm always looking. I got a few special ones for Twitter that are reserved strictly for that. But I've got certain GIFs that I will throw down whenever someone texts me something. So my goal in life is to have a conversation with nothing but GIFs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's becoming like that. I can definitely have that conversation. And I was having this conversation, ironically, with a couple of friends today that today it was declared that the year 2022 somehow became the year of Nicolas Cage GIFs. So.
Man, I don't know about that. I'm more
trying to incorporate those as much as possible. So
I've got a lot of Ted Lasso GIFs right now. So
yeah, Ted Lasso, that's the sexy one right now. But I think if you can take it back and hold a GIF conversation in Nicolas Cage, GIFs, I think that's saying something.
Or the old show Justified with Timothy Oliphant. I've got a ton of those.
Oh yeah.
So I will, because he had all those great one-liners. You just got to throw them down.
So if I had to if I streamed through your phone though, what would I find as your go-to, nine times out of 10, your go-to GIF there?
I've got two. I've got the Joe Biden, give me a break. That's a bunch of malarkey. So whenever something goes wrong, I mean, it doesn't matter. Give me a break. That's a bunch of malarkey. U of H only got bumped up 2 points out, 2 points in the rankings, after beating somebody. Oh, that's a bunch of malarkey. All right. Hey, Chelsea gave up a goal in the 90th minute. Bunch of malarkey.
No, that's part for the course, coach. That's part for the course.
Let's not get there. Let's not go there. It's been a rough couple of months.
My Liverpool squad dropped points, so I won't.
Sunday will be a good. Sunday will be the battle to stay in the Premier League race.
Now, what's the other one? The other one is the
Stone Cold Steve Austin, where he's sitting there and he's got the beer up. He's bringing the beer up, and it just says, "Oh hell yeah."
Yeah.
So nice. Those are my two right now.
All right. Okay. Something you wish you would have been told prior to entering coaching. Something nobody ever told you that you had to figure out on your own.
Oh, something I had to figure out on my own. Rome was not built in a day. When I went to Pearland, I tried to change everything that was wrong in that program in one year and could not. And I faced opposition from administration. I faced opposition from players. I faced opposition from my assistant coaches. I faced opposition from parents. And I'm like, look, here's where we're going to be. Here's what we're going to change. And it took time for them to, I think the issue was they didn't trust me. They didn't know me. So I think that was one of the things is when you come into a program, you got to sit back and observe and relax and then make your changes over time. Yeah. So that's something that I learned. You know, makes me a better person now.
Right. You know, whenever I hear that quote about Rome not being built in a day, I think back to one of my former mentors who somehow that came up one time. I said that, and he said, no, it wasn't. But, he responded with, but you bet your, you know what, that they had thousands upon thousands laying bricks each and every single day.
Yeah.
So that's something I was like, yeah, touche.
I like the Brian Clough version of it. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but I wasn't hired for that job.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I wasn't on that job.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Next one. So we already know you have a horrible taste in soccer teams as a Chelsea supporter. But
I mean, we're the champions of Europe. What can I say?
Tell us, who is your least favorite soccer team?
Oh, Man United. Can't stand them. You know, fans, can't stand Liverpool fans for some reason. No offense
really?
To you.
Really?
I can't, you know,
Liverpool fans?
You know, I just have them and Man United fans. When I see them at the pub and everything, they're just so obnoxious. And I'm like, dude. You know,
I don't know. Over Man U fans? Over Man U
in the Houston area. In the Houston area, they're both kind of, you know, they're both kind of obnoxious. So, FC Dallas fans, you know, being from Houston, you know, even though I'm not really, I don't consider myself a Dynamo supporter anymore. I haven't paid for season tickets in 3 years, but I never really liked FC Dallas, even though I was a season ticket holder when I was a kid. You know, yeah. I always told them that was just out of necessity. I couldn't be a whiz season ticket holder.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Favorite movie quote that you can share.
Favorite movie quote. Oh goodness.
Yeah, we gotta keep it at least PG-13.
All right. So Kicking and Screaming, Mike Ditka, Forget the Appreciation. I want to win a soccer game. Where the little kids were going 2, 4, 6, 8.
Who right.
He throws right, the kid right, right. And he goes, oh, forget the appreciation. I want to win a soccer game.
Man, I haven't seen that movie in probably over 10 years.
I got that on a GIF, so I send that out every now and then. When someone's like, man, your kids played well. I'll forget the appreciation. I want to win a game. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that one on a GIF. I'll look that one up.
I think I had to create that one.
Okay.
If I have to, I'll see if I can send it to you.
Okay, great. Yeah, for sure. All right. So you are appointed the soccer czar in America today. Mm-hmm. All right. What is the one thing you'd change effective immediately? First thing tomorrow, your first agenda item tomorrow that you would change soccer in America tomorrow?
Promotion, relegation.
Okay.
We gotta do something to encourage some of these teams at the bottom of MLS to actually care. I mean, the Dynamo are a perfect example of it. I mean, we haven't made the playoffs in 6 of the last 7 years. And if you got an owner who's not spending money and not really trying to make their team any better, and you can't draw fans, what's the point of being out there? And there needs to be punishment for owners who don't care. You know, and hopefully the new ownership at Houston will do a better job. But, you know, I mean, the same thing in New England for all those years. And, you know,
right.
San Jose, if the ownership isn't going to invest because of the new MLS 4.0, 5.0, 7.0, whatever we're at right now in MLS,
right.
Those owners are investing. You know, Miami and Atlanta, they're all investing. They want to win.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we need to bring in promotion relegation. I think most American fans will never understand it, but, you know.
I think the first American sport that can really, I mean, and if there's any sport in position, I guess, really to implement it, you would argue soccer, I don't know, maybe baseball, maybe hockey. I don't know. But yeah. I think the first sport that can really legitimately top to bottom implement it is going to win over a lot of fans right away. Right. Yeah. You know, it may take them a while to understand it. Right. Top to bottom, the inner workings. But I think, you know, not only your diehards, but your social fans or your fans that have maybe left the sport for this or, you know, for a number of reasons, you know, it might be intriguing enough to see. It's like, this is different.
It brings, you know, I mean, we're seeing more fans that are cultured about the game. They understand it because they watch the Premier League all the time or they watch La Liga. So they understand promotion relegation. Right. You know, why am I going to be a Dynamo fan when we're at the bottom of the table and we're not investing any money in players?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I fully empathize. As you know, yeah. I used to be a Rapids season ticket holder when I was coaching at the Air Force Academy, and I can tell you, you know, the biggest issue in the way of the Rapids, most people would argue, is how Stan Kroenke, you know, operated, how he had them going. Yeah. So
I was at the very first Dynamo game at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. It was only the second game they'd ever had there, and apparently they hadn't fixed the drains because it was raining, and the first two rows of the stadium were flooded. So,
yeah.
For 35 degrees in rain, I was not a happy fan.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Okay. Next one. And who would play you in a movie? And you can't say Nicolas Cage either.
No. Oh, goodness. I was going to say Brad Pitt, but that's just too obvious.
No, that's me. That's my story.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, we're going to have to go with Bradley Cooper. I mean, you know, either or Matthew McConaughey with the abs. I mean, we're similar. Yeah. I mean, those guys that have washboard abs, I have them too. They're just covered up.
They're a little bit more layered, right? All right. Okay, next one. Bucket list destination. Place you want to go before it's a wrap.
And there's so many places out there. I want to go to Australia and be on the coast, the barrier reefs and everything. I wouldn't mind going to the Maldives and having I wouldn't mind buying one of the Maldives and having my own personal island, you know, out there and having a place to go whenever I felt like it. But some of those, and then I guess for, you know, like a soccer bucket list, I want to go to the Bombonera. You know, I want to go down to Argentina. I mean, I want to go see places with passion. You know, I've been to several World Cups, and they're great, but I mean, I want to see that local passion.
Mm-hmm. So. Speaking, this is kind of a stretch, but not directly related, but speaking of Argentina, have you listened to on Spotify that podcast, the final days of oh my God, why am I drawing a blank?
Maradona?
Maradona. Diego Maradona, yeah.
I've heard about it. I haven't gotten a chance to it. It's on the list somewhere.
Yeah, I just started it actually day after Christmas. And it's good. It's really good. It's really, you know, doing when your trailer is being read by, you know, Thierry Henry, I guess it's they mean business, you know.
Yeah. I'll have to put that one up on the list a little higher.
Most random thought you've had during a match, you know, that you can share, of course.
Man, if I leave now, I can beat the traffic.
Yeah. I think all coaches have had that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Name a phobia of yours.
Spiders. Cannot stand them. Okay. Absolutely.
Right. Hobby you discovered during the pandemic. Maybe something you've taken on or you just stumbled across that you started during the pandemic and now you kind of find yourself. Maybe you're not doing it every day, but it's something you've kind of incorporated into your lifestyle a bit.
Listening to podcasts, you know,
there you go.
It's something I didn't really do before. I didn't really care to. So, you know, I kind of forced myself to get back in shape a little bit, you know, drop some pounds. And so I was always walking my neighborhood or walking our hike and bike trail behind the house. So it was easy just to pop in a podcast. And, you know, my brother got me hooked on listening to a couple of pro wrestling podcasts because he and I grew up watching pro wrestling, and he's learning disabled and he still watches it as a kid. So, you know, he's a 35-year-old in a 12-year-old in a 35-year-old's body. So I'll get a phone call. Hey, you need to watch wrestling. This is on. So he got me hooked on those. And then I got into some coaching podcasts and, you know, so I've got about 7 or 8 podcasts a week I listen to.
Nice. There you go. And we know, we fully know that the 50-50 podcast is at the top of the list.
Yes. So, it's 1A, 1B. You know, it fluctuates from week to week, depending who the guest is.
There you go.
This week it's 1A.
All right. There you go. All right. Speaking of wrestling, you know what I got into earlier during the pandemic? I think earlier in the year, A&E had a run on these documentaries on all these different wrestlers. Did you see that?
Yes, it did.
I saw, who was it? Macho Man's.
There was Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper. Who else was on?
The Ultimate Warrior.
The Hitman. Brett the Hitman. Yeah, I saw like 4 or 5 of them. They were really good because they took me back to, you know, when I was young, you know, when I was little. Awesome. All right. Last question. This one of everybody. So we are in the clear. We're back to our normal or new normal, whatever that may be. You got everybody coming over, all the family, distant relatives, maybe old players, alumni, whatever. You're the chef. You're cooking for everybody Sunday dinner. What are you cooking?
We are cooking a prime rib roast. I'm taking one of those big old prime rib logs. I'm putting it in the oven. I'm seasoning it just right. We're going to slice that thing open. Everyone's got prime rib coming.
There you go.
That's what I did. It's what I did for Christmas. So with my family. So had one at the house and took care of that.
Sweet. It's good. Great answer. Great answer. All right, Coach. Hey, this has been great. We sincerely appreciate your time. Loved having you on the podcast. A fan of your style and how you do things. It's great to catch up with you again after a long, long time. You know, we got to attend two of your courses as well. Before we kind of let you go, any final thoughts, plugs, anything you want to share, shout outs, anything before we get going?
Yeah, I kind of got one. I found out back in August, I lost one of my coaches growing up that kind of got me into the game. And I was around 11 or 12, and I was at the point where we're going to start maybe trying something different. You know, I was basketball and track and everything was going on. And, you know, I got assigned to a team. My team had broken up, so I got assigned to a team. And out on the field, this Hispanic guy comes walking out. He's big, heavy set guy. And he walks out there and he says, "My name is Victor and I'm going to teach you soccer." And my first thought is, what does this guy know? And we're out there scrimmaging and I'm getting ready to just take this. I got a teammate. He plays the ball over the top. This guy's getting ready. And I'm getting ready to just roll it into the goal. And I'm going to show this guy, Victor, what I'm all about. And this old man just backheels one 30 yards, puts it on the other guy's foot, the other team. And I just stood there in disbelief. And I said, "Okay, Victor, teach me the game." And I worked with him. You know, he coached me for 3 years. And then he invited me out to play on his men's league team. And he's 60 years old playing in a Division II men's league. And I'm out there just watching him never really have to run. He always knew where to be.
Yeah.
And he passed away back in August. And I hadn't heard from him in, you know, 20 years. And it was probably the first death that I've heard about that's really made me just break down and cry in the past couple of years. You know, I've lost a lot of friends with, you know, COVID's kind of hit us all hard, but this one really hit me the wrong way. So I want to say thanks to Victor Helguero. What a great coach he was and someone that kind of reignited my passion for soccer. And I always tell my kids, I was like, you know, man, you don't have to love the game as much as I do. And I don't think anybody really does, but man, I hope you develop a love for the game. I hope I can ignite a passion in you the way he ignited a passion in me. So, you know, I want to do that because he was real special to me. So,
right. Well, no, that's well said. Well said. And we appreciate you sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. So, again, we wish you the absolute best this year with your Sterling Rangers squad. Continue to tag us. And anything we can do to help support, help spotlight kids, by all means, let us know. That goes on the club side as well, the club side with San Jacinto United. Again, for our listeners, thank you for all you do in support of the podcast. You know, we just celebrated about 2 weeks ago, celebrated our 1 year anniversary. And here we are with Coach Heyman in our final episode of 2021. We just want to say we cannot thank you enough. You're the reason why we do it. And what we're really about is trying to grow this game across this, you know, across the state, first and foremost, and being able to, you know, showcase our players, showcase our coaches, tell those stories, these kind of stories, like what Coach Heyman just shared in terms of a coach having a great impact on him over 20 years ago. You know, this is the reason why we do it. So for our listeners, our supporters, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful ride so far. We're looking forward to an exciting 2022, a safe 2022. We got to get through this, what we're going through right now, in another spike, but continue to hang in there, be strong, continue to tag us on your posts, go to our YouTube page, subscribe, you can sign up for the notifications there so you never miss a podcast. And we wish you the absolute best as we kick off 2022. We'll be back in a couple of days with either our first episode of the 2022 year for the actual podcast, or if not, with episode 2 of Inside Texas High School Soccer with Coach Rafa. So thank you again. Wishing everybody the absolute best. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And you know what to do. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.